it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer questions that you sent in to us. And we've got a pretty good stack of questions, so we're going to try to get to as many as we can today. So what do you think, babe?
I think that's a fine idea. Fine indeed.
It's been a busy summer. It has been one busy summer. I'm looking forward to the fall. I want the leaves to change and the temperature to drop. Put a log on a fireplace.
We just went to a great church in New Braunfels, Texas, Tree of Life.
Yeah.
Great pastors, Don and Jessamy Duncan, very good friends of ours. And the hotel, the New Braunfels is such a fun little place. And it's kind of a, it used to be more of a secret. Now the secret's out.
Yeah, secret's out.
And, but people go there to vacation because it has the Guadalupe River goes through the city.
Yeah.
And you can get on
spring fed.
You can get on tubes and tube down the river.
There's five natural springs that come up in New Braunfels. Germans settled the place a couple hundred years ago, came over from Europe and started farming and working. This natural spring water, just perfectly clear, beautiful, cold spring water, feeds all these rivers. It's just a beautiful place.
It is. And they have a Schlitterbahn.
A Schlitterbahn.
Which is, I've heard, I've never been to Schlitterbahn, but it's a big water park that people go to and have fun with their kids.
Yeah.
So maybe when my grandbaby comes, I'll go to the Schlitterbahn.
Well, they've got an old town full of shops and restaurants and bakeries. Oh, my goodness. They know how to bake.
And they do.
So it's just a fun place.
So if you're ever in New Braunfels, check out their church because it is an awesome church.
It is.
All right, guys. Joe, what are some tips for nurturing open and honest communication in a Christian marriage, especially when discussing sensitive topics?
Well, the Bible speaks slow, speak soft. Speak slow and speak soft. When you start getting loud, they don't care what you're saying. You already shut the door. You start using extra words and four-letter words. You just concreted the door shut. So you got to speak soft, speak slow. Soft answer turns away wrath. So, hey, sure, we talk about this in a minute. You know, because everybody deals with it. Everybody has issues you're going to have to deal with. I don't care how long you've been married. There's issues coming up you've never dealt with because you've never been married that long, or you're in this situation where you are, living where you are, you have the job you got. It changes, and it makes things tense because humans don't like change. They like things the same every day. But life's changing all the time, and God knows where we're going. He's already been there ahead of us, going to order our steps, direct our paths. So just stay calm. Speak slow. Speak soft. Don't yell.
Well, I think timing is a great important part of that too, especially if it's a sensitive subject like your kids or your sex life or money.
Yep.
Those things can all open a can of worms that you don't necessarily want. So I would say don't do it when you're tired.
Nope.
Don't do it when you're in a frustrating mood.
Don't do it right before bedtime.
I always say don't do it like this. Don't say, hey, thirsty, and then shove a fire hose in their mouth and crank that on. You want to just little bit and just ease into it.
Wet that appetite.
Yeah.
That can't be done.
I used to feel like I had to tell everything that was going on in my mind. But I've learned through the years that's probably not the best way. Let's do highlights.
Yes.
And so pray for a time, maybe plan a time that you can come together. And
that would really be the goddest thing you can do. Well, we used to years ago, we said every Thursday, 30 minutes, every Thursday for 30 minutes, we're going to talk about anything and everything. And so we would have an actual time lot. We got it like a Radio Shack, a timer. So we started, hey, how's your week going? Anything you want to talk about? Well, what about this? Okay. And what do you think about this? Well, I don't like this. I don't know you didn't like this. And so you don't go deep in anything. Well, I'll check it off. So we'd get together, just a little pad of paper. Well, let's talk about this. I'm concerned about this. I don't know you're concerned about that. Well, you never asked me. Well, I didn't know because you don't read each other's minds. So just 30 minutes a week, will keep stuff from becoming a volcano and erupting on yourself. So find some time, go for a coffee, go to walk down the road to the mailbox, just get some time, go out, sit on the porch, just sit, just think a little bit and talk slow and talk soft, and you get everything settled.
You really can. Joe, have you experienced seasons of doubt or spiritual dryness within your marriage? How did you work through these times together?
Well, everybody goes through dry times. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 New Testament, prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody. He went through times, challenging times, times that he's going through personally with his staff. He got mad at John Mark and he fired him. And, you know, Barnabas had to take him on and bring him back and finally got him back. And so the greatest spiritual giants we've ever read about in the Bible had tough times. The tests and trials of life come to everybody. But when they come, you got to remember what the word says. God's already made a way out. So whatever you're going through, there's an answer. What are you experiencing? There's a way out. God didn't lie. God saw it coming before I was born. He saw this coming, and he's already made a way out. So I need to get quiet, listen to God, not get upset and yell and scream and holler and cuss. Just stay calm. Yeah. Be still and know that I'm God.
I think, well, I was just trying to think, when I first, after my divorce, not when I first divorced, but after a while, I got a job, and the hours that they gave me were Sunday through Wednesday, and I worked 10-hour days.
Yep.
So there was a period of time that I couldn't go to church at all.
Yep.
And it was a very dry season for me. Now, my kids still went. Matter of fact, I would get frustrated because sometimes my son would be singing or playing, and I would never hear about it. And I, you know, until after the fact, when I'd see it online or somewhere. But I think that I couldn't change that situation, those hours. I didn't have the ability to do that or the authority to do that. So what I had to do was, you know, just press in where I could.
Yes.
At personally reading the Bible, listening
yes.
to stuff that I could. But it was a difficult time. But, you know, I always go back to that. God, your word says. I always remind him what his word says. You know, if I draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to me, and I'm drawing nigh to you.
Yeah.
I want this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to feel like I'm in a desert land.
I don't like the desert. Get out of the desert.
Yeah.
And one thing you learn from carnal stuff, the Bible says God inhabits praise. God goes where he gets thanked. And I've had people go through dry time. Well, I just can't hear God, and I don't know what he's saying. Well, just take a minute and start thanking him. Thank him for what? Let's thank him that you're breathing. Thank him that you're alive. Thank you woke up this morning. Thank you. Are your lights on? Well, thank God the lights are still on. You know, just start thanking for something, and it creates a momentum. You'll start thanking him more. And when God goes where he gets thanked, God always shows up where he gets thanked. It's in the Bible. You want God to show up, start praising him. He'll show up. He'll show up every time. He loves praise. God has four angels around the throne that do nothing for eternity other than praise him. He made four creatures with six wings that do nothing but praise him. God likes praise. God goes where he gets thanks. So starting to feel lonely, just start thanking God. Well, I want to take a minute and just thank you. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. And I thank you that you order my steps and direct my path. I thank you surround me with divine favor. People like me, they don't even know why. And you start, and all of a sudden, if you start thinking, scriptures will start coming up that you buried for a long time, and they'll start coming back up to the surface. Like, oh, I forgot I knew that. Oh, I knew that. Oh, I read that one time. But you got to do it yourself. You can't wait for somebody to inspire you. You got to inspire yourself. Woo!
That is true. See that bruise on my arm? It keeps showing it. Joe did not hit me. I am kind of clumsy, and I just ran into a wall, not a wall, like the door, you know, frame. I was carrying something. Bam. When I raised my arm, I could see it, and I'm like, oh, that does not look good. Joe, what advice do you have for couples navigating the challenges of infertility or loss while maintaining their faith in God's plan for their family?
Well, I got to go back to scripture. Angel went through it. I went through it first 5 years of my marriage. We weren't able to get pregnant. We were doing everything we knew to do. And all of a sudden, six kids later. And so Angel went 10 years, couldn't get pregnant. And didn't think she could have a baby. Then she had two incredibly great kids, you know, that do incredible things and bring honor to the mother, love their mother. But for 10 years, it was like dry desert. Like, what am I doing wrong? And so you got to keep got to keep seeking God. And the same thing with miscarriages, you know. We know everybody's had a miscarriage. What happened? Well, you'll see when you get to heaven. But we try it again. And so people say, well, we're afraid something will happen. You can't be afraid. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. You can't have fear in your life in any area. So, you know, we tell people just keep trying. Of course, we've got the thing where you can adopt somebody, have foster parents. There's all kinds of things you can do. There's ways to fix it. But what the devil's trying to do is box you into a dead end road. Well, there's no way out. We can't fix it. There's no way to fix it. We've done everything. You've never, ever done everything. Nobody's ever done everything. There's still something you can do. So you keep your attitude right. And you just keep praising God. Oh, thank you. I want a family. I want a kid. I want my own kid. And we've got family members who didn't think they could have them. They adopted. After they adopted, got pregnant twice. Like, you didn't think it was going to happen. All of a sudden, boom, boom. Like, well, how did that happen? Well, God loves to show off. God loves to show off. So keep trying. That's what I tell every couple. Keep trying.
You know, when I was really young, I went to a church meeting and a man prophesied over me. And he said, I see a child, no children. And he went on and said several other things, but I never forgot that. And I have a nephew that's adopted. I adore this nephew. And I.
Great man.
Yes. And I.
Great man.
Great father. Father great
man.
Husband.
Oh, man. He's some.
But so I had no opposition to adoption. I think it's wonderful. I just didn't feel like at that time that was the path I was supposed to take. Now, I think it's wonderful. I think adoption is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And I'm not opposed to it at all. I think it's I can't even imagine our family without this young man in it. He's, you know, completed us. And, I can remember my dad saying, you know, do you just not want children? Cause I would never talk about it because I didn't want people, you know,
feel sorry for me. Give me opinions and give me recommendations.
I just never said anything. And one day I was at church and, this preacher was preaching and he gave the hardest altar call I have ever heard. And I remember looking at my sister-in-law and I go, oh, I was in the back of the church and I go, I'm going to have to go down there, huh? And she goes, you regret it if you don't. And he said, there's somebody in this room that has been believing God for a child. Well, I want you to come down here and just get on your knees and begin to worship him for that. Well, I hesitated because my husband had preached in that church a lot. Everybody knew who I was.
Yep, you're not an unknown.
And so I was like, ugh. So by myself, nobody else, just me, walks down, and it was a big church. And I walked down and I knelt down, and he said, just begin to praise the Lord. So I said, I'm already down here. I'm going for it. I am going
for it.
So I just kind of
love it.
Blocked everybody out, and I just went for it, started just thanking God for it. Well, eventually, two other women came down, and he said, it's for her, pointed at me, but you can get the overflow. And I just kept praising God, praising God, praising God. Felt like a long time, but I was there. I don't really recall how long it was. I don't have any idea how long it was, actually. And got up and left. I didn't get pregnant for 5 more years, but I would always go back to that moment when I thank God. And I would say, I don't see myself growing old without children. So I don't know. There's a perfect time. There's an appointed time.
Yes.
And so I would just hold that in my heart. And I would say, thank you, God. There's an appointed time. There's an appointed time. And I did. I got pregnant and had a son. And then 3 years later, shock of all shocks, got pregnant again and had a daughter.
And now about to be a grandmother.
Now about to be. So God knows the desires of your heart.
Yes.
And he's placed them there.
Yes.
Sometimes we try to get ahead of God. And timing is a very important thing. Thing is that I realize now I was older, and I think I was a better mother. I think I enjoyed them a lot more.
Yeah,
I was
great mom.
I was more relaxed. I wasn't as tense as I would have been when I was 20.
Yeah.
So sometimes we want God. We want it now.
Yeah, yesterday. We want it yesterday.
And that's not how He works.
No, it's not. God smiles all the time.
Yep. So I would suggest that certainly do everything you can in the natural.
Yes.
Go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out.
Yes.
See if there's a problem.
Yes.
And I even went to the doctor. He said, well, maybe we should start you on some fertility stuff. And I said, maybe, but not yet. Not yet. Just didn't feel like it was time yet. And again, I just was following peace that I had. And so I would say release it. Ask God, release it, thank Him, and you will get the perfect direction for you and your spouse.
God will not
lead. What your answer is, and it may be adoption, it may be just a later pregnancy. You have no idea. God never moves like we think He's going to. He surprises us.
Exceedingly abundantly above and beyond.
I love it. And what a great surprise that is. Get people to agree with you. They're faith people. But don't just spew it out to everybody.
Yeah, not just everybody. Find somebody who knows how to believe God.
And agree with you.
Yeah, find somebody who's got a big family. I pray for more people. We just had lunch with a wonderful guy. Been married for several years. Wife couldn't get pregnant. And we're at a big retreat. And he said, can you agree with me that my wife can get pregnant? Sure, I got faith for that. Some people have faith for money, faith for what? I have faith for babies. I can believe God for babies. And so I agreed with him. And so now he's got four incredibly adult children doing very well. And it was just a miracle. And so I just grabbed his hand that day and prayed for him and kind of forgot about it. 2 years later, he calls, hey, my wife's pregnant. Then 3 years, hey, my wife's pregnant. 3 years, hey, my wife's pregnant. It's like, well, we opened up the floodgate. Didn't think he'd have any. And all of a sudden, we got a house full.
Yeah, God.
Great kids, too.
God is good. And the enemy tries to discourage.
Yes, that is his number one weapon, discouragement.
Yep. So stay focused on what's in your heart.
Yes.
Hey, we love you guys. Hope you have a great week this week. Call somebody in your family that you don't talk to all the time and tell them you love them and you've been thinking about them.
Just keep it short. Hey, just thinking about you wants to know I love you. Well, anything else? Nope. Just thinking about you wants to know I love you. God bless you. It'll make their day.
It will. Love you guys. Have a great week. Send in your questions. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
Thanks. See you next time.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.